Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whose Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, is the light of the world, grant that your people, illumined by your word and sacraments, may shine with the radiance of Christ's glory, that he may be known, worshipped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food. And God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord, and will also raise us by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Should I therefore take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that whoever is united to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is said, the two shall be one flesh. But anyone united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Shun fornication. Every sin that a person commits is outside the body, but the fornicator sins against the body itself. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you were bought with a price, and therefore glorify God in your body. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, he said to him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe me because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We don't know all that much about this disciple whose name was Nathanael. We don't know where he came from, though he was friends with Philip, and Philip was from Bethsaida, which is a town on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. So Nathanael might have hailed from that area since he knew Philip, but we can't be sure. We don't know if he was married, if he had children. We don't know anything about his past before he encountered Jesus. But we do know something about Nathanael's character. We know this. Nathanael was the kind of guy who knew exactly what he thought and would say it. He could be, well, blunt. When Philip goes to Nathanael, he is eager to tell Nathanael that he thinks he's found the Messiah. And Nathanael, being a devout Jew, would have been fascinated by this. "You found the Messiah. Tell me, who is it?" And Philip says, "Well, his name is Jesus. He's the son of Joseph, and he's from the town of Nazareth." Now, Philip, in his bluntness, says something quite prejudiced. Philip, in saying that Jesus was from Nazareth, gets Nathanael's wheels turning. You see, Nathanael knew that Nazareth was kind of a backwater place. Nazareth is 16 miles southwest of the Sea of Galilee. It's not close to the Mediterranean Sea, and it's not close to the Sea of Galilee, and it's not on any of the major trade routes that existed in the time of Jesus. So when Nathanael hears that this potential Messiah is from Nazareth, he says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" In other words, isn't that where the slow people hail from? Isn't that the rural backwoods area? What good could come from Nazareth? Nathanael is blunt, and Nathanael is critical before he even meets Jesus. But then this incredible thing happens when Jesus actually is walking toward Nathanael. He sees Nathanael and he does the exact opposite thing that Nathanael did to him. When Nathanael heard of Jesus and that he was from Nazareth, he was critical. When Jesus sees Nathanael, he points out Nathanael's very best quality. You know, the flip side of being blunt is that you're honest, right? Jesus says, "Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." In other words, here comes a guy who always tells the truth. Jesus sees Nathanael and he nails him. He identifies his very best gift, the gift that God has given him. And Nathanael says, "How do you know me?" And he believes that Jesus is the Son of God because Jesus knows him and knows his best self. Have you all ever been in conversation with someone and that person points out one of your best qualities? Have you ever had an experience where someone looks at you and sees you and nails you and identifies something that you really do well and makes you want to do it even better? Have you experienced that before? It feels good, doesn't it? If Jesus were to see you as he saw Nathanael on the road, if he were to nail you and point out your very best quality, what would he say? Jesus was able to see the good in Nathanael and to call him to his best self. Now, tomorrow we're going to remember the life of Dr. Martin Luther King. And he had a similar gift. Despite all the criticism and all the hatred that was coming at him, Dr. King often would call out to people's higher natures, asking them to be the best that they could be. When Dr. King was thrown in jail in Birmingham, he got a letter from the clergy of Birmingham that basically criticized him, saying, "Why did you come to Birmingham? This is not your city. Get the heck out of here. We've got things under control. Go back to Atlanta." The clergy called him, and I quote, "unwise and untimely." But Dr. King decided to write them back. And in the letter, he tries to edify these clergymen, and they were mostly men back then. He writes, "I see a lot of letters past my desk that are all critical and full of hate. If I spent all my time responding to these letters, I would never have time to do God's work. If I responded to every letter, I couldn't do what I'm called to do. So most of the letters that pass my desk, I just don't even respond. But I'm writing back to you because you're men of God." And he quotes, "You are men of genuine good will." Dr. King reminds these clergymen that they want what's best for God and for people, And then he explains to them why he returned to Birmingham and why he left Atlanta to protest. Most of us don't have Jesus walking towards us, pointing out our best qualities. So we have to listen to God. And God is also calling you. When you see something extraordinary in another person, to point it out to them. You can do that, you know. Most of us, we're so critical of ourselves and others, we don't look and see and speak about the goodness that we see in others. Do that. Speak out. It's really important. We have a tradition in the Moorhead family. Every morning and every night, we have to, whether it's rain or shine, boiling hot or blistering, we have to walk our black lab, whose name is Ella Bella Moorhead. And every evening there's a discussion as to who's going to walk Ella Bella Moorhead. It's better to do it in twos or threes. In fact, I find it's a great time to talk to my kids. They'll talk to me while we're walking, especially in the dark. When we had just moved into our neighborhood and Max was about 5 years old, it was raining one night and he decided he would volunteer to walk Ella Bella, but he needed some company. So he took with him my goddaughter, Ashley, who interned here, who you know, and Luke, our oldest son. Now, both Ashley and Luke were a heck of a lot taller than Max, and he was walking in between them. And it was raining, and all of a sudden, there was a huge thunderclap. You know how that happens in Florida. All of a sudden, you realize you're in the middle of a thunderstorm. Well, little Max reaches up and grabs both of their hands and says, "Don't be afraid. I have rubber shoes." Now, in Max's 5-year-old mind, those rubber shoes were a gift that God had given him, a gift that would protect him from the storm. And if he grabbed the hands of the people he loved, well, it would protect them too. God has given you great gifts, rubber shoes, that if you can figure out what exactly it is that God has called you to do, you can weather any storm. You can help other people. You can take their hands and bring them with you. You know, Dr. King had a gift with words. He could speak and he could write and bring people with him. But he was afraid to use those rubber shoes. You know, late one night, he got another death threat on the phone, and he was so frightened, he went into his kitchen to make a cup of coffee because he couldn't sleep. And he sat down at the kitchen table with that cup of coffee, and he prayed. "I don't know if I can do this. I know you've given me these gifts, but I don't know if I have the courage to use them." And God spoke to him. He never would specifically articulate how that happened, but God moved him to no longer be afraid. God moved him to use his gifts. I've got to be honest with you, honest about the fact that I'm scared about what's happening in this world. When I watch the news and pray, I'm convinced that the forces of darkness are moving over this planet. We are seeing such evil acts. People are taking the lives of women and children. Even Europe no longer feels safe. And I would not be honest with you if I didn't say that this is evil. That somehow these people have become evil. I would be insulting Christians and Jews and peaceful Muslims if I didn't say that to you. We have to wake up because a storm is coming. And you must identify the gifts that God has given you so that you can serve God in this crazy and violent world. Thank God that Dr. King had the courage to use his gifts. Will you have the same courage? We are living in a crazy time. And one of the gifts that I know that you and I both share is the gift of our faith. We belong to a church in which we welcome faith and the intellect. We belong to a church which is not afraid to question and doubt and debate and wonder. Do you realize how valuable that is? And yet we don't speak out enough about who we are. We must have the courage to share the gift of our faith. A faith that is beautiful and broad and just and kind. A faith that believes in the sanctity of every human life and honors people of all traditions. What are your rubber shoes? What is God calling you to do? Don't be afraid. A storm is coming. But if you know that God has given you gifts, and if you take each other's hands, we all will be the better for it. Amen.
Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen. In this season of Epiphany, we remember the wise ones whose journey by the brightest star's light brought them to the light of the world. Let us pray together, saying, Christ be our light. For the people of God throughout the world, and for all of us gathered together here, that we will learn how God wants us to live, let us pray together, saying, Christ be our light. For our president, for the leaders of every nation, and for all who work for justice, freedom, and peace, let us pray together, saying, Christ be our light. For our families, friends, and neighbors, for all who we love, for those who live and for those who have died, especially Juanita Webb, Marge Green, and Helen Harper, let us pray together, saying, Christ be our light. For all who are sick, sad, hungry, afraid, alone, or in any kind of trouble, that they will be helped and comforted. Let us pray together, saying,
Christ be our light.
For what is in our hearts today, we ask you to hear us, God. We give thanks for the life and witness of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. We pray that we may strive to love one another with kindness, equity, and compassion. So long as there is still injustice, racism, and inequality in this country, we have not honored Dr. King's memory. We pray that all the peoples of the earth may value every human being as precious in your sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
For all that we have and all that we share, we thank you, God.
O Lord our God, accept the fervent prayers of your people. In the multitude of your mercies, look with compassion upon us and all who turn to you for help. For you are gracious, O lover of souls, and to you we give glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen.
We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. And so uphold us by your Spirit. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
My beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, may the peace of the Lord be always with you.
Please be seated. What a joy it is to see you all today. Welcome, welcome. We're so glad you're here with us. If you're new or visiting and you raise your hand, the ushers will bring you a gift, but you have to hold your hand up and keep it up until the ushers bring the gift, okay? We're so glad you all are here today. Welcome. We're getting ready for our annual parish meeting. One of the great parts of our tradition is that it's a democratic tradition. We actually elect our lay leadership in this church. So the bios for the nominees are in the back of the church, so you can read about the people who will be running for our board, which is called our vestry, or for a delegate to the diocesan convention. I hope you'll take time to read that and then come to the annual meeting, which will be after this service on February the 8th, and we will serve pizza and salad, fastest kind of food we can get in you and get out within an hour or so. This Wednesday, we're going to have supper and classes are all canceled because the bishop is hosting an ecumenical evensong. This is a good thing, a vision of unity. The Roman Catholic bishop will be here, the Orthodox bishop, the Lutheran bishop, the Methodist bishop, and the Presbyterians don't have a bishop. I think it's called a judicatory. But they're all going to be here. They're all going to pray together. Our choir's going to sing. It's at 6 o'clock, and we would love for you to come and invite your friends. Next Sunday, we have a wonderful presentation after church. Barbara Pfizer and Marianne Murray are going to give a talk in Ingram Lounge about their pilgrimage to Santiago de Compostela in Spain. Both of them have walked that Santiago de Compostela pilgrimage. So if you'd like to know more about that, please come, and a light lunch will be provided. That's next Sunday after church. We're still looking for coffee hour volunteers. Don't get intimidated. I know some people do gourmet spreads. All we really need is cookies and something healthy. So if you can pick those up at the grocery store and bring them, we would love it. There's a sign up in Tolliver Hall. A reminder to people who have done the Curcio weekend that there is a reunion in Altrea next Sunday at St. Andrew's at 5. And last but not least, we are going to host 3 homeless families here at the church February 8th to the 15th. But in order to do this, we need lots of help. We need people who can cook, make them dinner. We need people who are not afraid to sleep on the sofa or on an air mattress in Ingram Lounge, just to be here with the families at night. And we also need people who just have the gift of playing, because there are going to be a lot of kids, and we need somebody to play games with them. So if you can do that, let us know. There is a bulletin. You can see the bulletin for details about that and who to contact if you want to volunteer. I have the great pleasure this morning of concluding our announcements by installing some new vergers. Does everybody know what a verger is? Yeah? We started in the Middle Ages. These are the people who organize this beautiful service. Carl and I run from teaching the Bible right into this space, and we want to hear about and visit with people. It's the verger who makes sure that all of these acolytes and the choir get in here and in the right order. They work very hard to make this service beautiful. So will you all come up? We have some new vergers who've been training for about 6 months and who are going to become officially instated. And we have one, Patricia, who's just begun her training, so she's going to stay back there. Since the early days of the church, laypersons have been commissioned to assist the clergy and laity in the conduct of divine liturgy. The position of verger developed in medieval England, where they served as the protector of the procession. They walked before the clergy, deans, or bishops as they processed within the precincts of the church or cathedral. They carried a large mace or verge. You see their stick? Often used to dissuade animals or unruly people from disrupting the procession. Today, the verger more typically assists the clergy in planning services and helps oversee the preparations for each service of the church. The candidates may now be presented. Have these persons you presented been prepared for their office by a commitment to Christ our Lord, by regular attendance at worship, and by the knowledge of their duties to the exercise of the office of verger to the honor of God and the welfare of God's church?
We believe them so to be.
Judith, Ted, Amanda, Jane, you have been called to the ministry of verger at St. John's Cathedral. Will you, as long as you are engaged in this work, perform it with diligence? Will you strive to maintain the dignity of this office and to be a witness of God's call to love and serve? Let us pray. Everlasting God, bless the ministry of Judith, Ted, Jane, and Amanda. Give them understanding and patience to persevere in the fulfillment of their duties, and strengthen us all in our Christian vocation of witness to this world and the service of others through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of God and of this congregation, I commission you to serve as verger in this parish. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit bless, preserve, and keep you. Amen. And let's put their shamirs on. And then you all need to turn around. Okay, well, the four of you turn around and come right next to me. 1, 2, 3, 4. Let us welcome our newest vergers of the cathedral. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. God of all power, ruler of the universe, you are worthy of glory and praise.
Glory to you forever and ever.
At your command, all things came to be. The vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, and this fragile earth, our island home.
By your will, they were created and have their being.
From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the rulers of creation, but we turned against you and betrayed your trust, and we turned against one another. Again and again you called us to return. Through prophets and sages you revealed your righteous law, and in the fullness of time you sent your only Son, born of a woman, to fulfill your law, to open for us the way of freedom and peace.
By his blood you reconciled us, by his wounds we are healed.
And therefore we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those in every generation who have looked to you in hope, to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. So, Father, we who have been redeemed by him and made a new people by water and the Spirit, now bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now his work of redemption and offering to you this sacrifice of thanksgiving, we celebrate his death and resurrection as we await the day of his coming. Lord God of our fathers and mothers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. Let the grace of this Holy Communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name. Accept these prayers and praises, Father, through Jesus Christ, our great High Priest, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit, your Church gives honor, glory, and worship from generation to generation.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood.
We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread, one cup.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. My brothers and sisters, life is short, and we have too little time to gladden the hearts of those around us. So make haste to love and be swift to be kind, and may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.
Alleluia. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.
Thanks be to God.